Hello, sunshine. It's Tuesday, January 16th. Let's make this a terrific Teacher Tuesday. Shout out to all those inspiring, uplifting, and informing us. Go on and give a dap, handshake, or high five. Let them know we see you. Welcome to the best 10 minutes in news, where I give you the what, letting you decide what to think. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. We start this week with a somber update and milestone regarding the ongoing war in the Middle East. It's been 100 days since Hamas militants killed around 1,200 people and took more than 200 people hostage. Israel subsequently began a military offensive into the Gaza Strip, and according to the Hamas-run health ministry, more than 24,000 people in the region have been killed as a result. It's important to note that CNN cannot independently confirm those numbers due to the difficulty of reporting from the war zone. Just last week, Israel defended itself from accusations of genocide in the United Nations court. And as Israel continues its military action, there's mounting concern the conflict could spread across the region. There's a lot to unpack here, so let's turn to CNN's Jeremy Diamond, who helps explain the latest in this conflict.
Well, 100 days after the October 7th terrorist attacks that sparked this Israel-Hamas war, Israel is facing mounting international pressure as the death toll in Gaza reaches nearly 24,000 people killed, a majority of those women and children. But amid that international pressure, the Israeli Prime Minister is defiant for his part. He says nobody will stop us from continuing to carry out this war, from destroying Hamas and securing the release of those more than 100 hostages still held hostage in the Gaza Strip. The Israeli Prime Minister promising total victory and warning that this war will take many more months. But it's clear amid those defiant comments that there are still concerns that this war between Israel and Hamas could erupt into a broader regional war. That's as we look to the south in Yemen. Houthi rebels there are vowing to continue their attacks on that critical shipping lane in the Red Sea following strikes by the United States and the United Kingdom aimed directly at Houthi capabilities in Yemen. If you look to the north at the Israel-Lebanese border, there are continuing cross-border clashes between the Israeli military and Hezbollah. An anti-tank missile fired by Hezbollah hitting a residential home in northern Israel, killing a 76-year-old woman and her 40-year-old son. The Israeli military, meanwhile, firing strikes in southern Lebanon at Hezbollah targets. Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, says that only a ceasefire in Gaza could see the end of those cross-border clashes. Meanwhile, in Israel, as we hit this 100-day mark, many people across the country are marking 100 days of captivity for those more than 100 hostages who still remain in captivity held by Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Tens of thousands of people flocking to what's become known as Hostages Plaza in Tel Aviv, where a 24-hour rally was held to mark those 100 days of captivity. Messages recorded by leaders across the world flowing in during that ceremony. And as people mark those 100 days of captivity, we're now learning that negotiators have struck a deal to allow for the entry of medication to the Gaza Strip for some of those 40 hostages who are being held hostage, who the Israeli government believes are in need of medication. That medicine will be coming from Qatar, delivered to Egyptian officials, and then to members of the Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza.
More international news now from one of the oldest monarchies in the world. Thousands gathered in the Danish capital of Copenhagen on Sunday to celebrate their new king, Frederick X. His mother, Queen Margrethe II, decided to step down, abdicating the throne after 52 years. She was Europe's longest reigning monarch, so it's a new era for Denmark, for King Frederick X and his wife, the new queen, who now lays claim to a historic first.
The new queen of Denmark is actually from a country almost 9,000 miles away. Queen Mary is the first ever Australian-born queen of any monarchy in history. Her husband, King Frederick X, became King of Denmark on Sunday after his mother, Queen Margrethe II, officially left the throne. Margrethe's abdication announcement came during her annual New Year's message and was a shock to many.
We're just like, what? Cancel New Year's Eve.
But it also meant that a new page in the fairy tale-like romance between the now King and Queen of Denmark was about to be written. It all started over two decades ago in an unusual spot, this pub in Sydney. She was an Australian sales executive and he was in town for the 2000 Olympics. And the story goes that at first, she didn't know he was a prince. 4 years later, the couple got married in a lavish ceremony at Copenhagen Cathedral, and she became the crown princess. Denmark has since embraced Mary, who's been praised for her poise and commitment to social causes.
I feel very confident in her, and I think we've got a very good relationship indeed.
Last year, rumours of an alleged romance between the then Prince Frederick and actress Genoveva Casanova rocked the royal family. Casanova denied the claims and the royal house never commented. Now, more than two decades after they met, the King and Queen are stepping into their new role. And although Danish royals have a limited power under the country's constitution, they will play an important ambassadorial role.
10-second trivia. Before Queen Margrethe II, when was the last time a monarch abdicated the throne in Denmark? 52 years ago, 160 years, 452 years, or 878 years ago? If you said 878, ding, 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 you are correct. The only other Danish monarch to voluntarily step down was King Eric III in the year 1146. He entered a monastery. Let's turn now to the United States, where we're in the heart of the winter season and Mother Nature is in full force, pushing an Arctic blast across the country. 41 states started the week with weather advisories, watches, or warnings, and at least four declared emergencies because of the frigid temperatures. Get this, South Dakota is expected to endure wind chills as low as minus 45 degrees Fahrenheit. That can cause frostbite in as little as 5 minutes. But the cold weather is also affecting southern states. That region will see impactful snow and ice for the first time this winter. And this frigid feel will not go away, as more than 75% of the U.S. population will experience temperatures below freezing for the rest of the week. Now, when it's colder than a polar bear's toenails outside, it can be annoying, even downright painful for a lot of us. But there are plenty of adrenaline junkies out there who embrace the burr, maybe doing a polar bear plunge into icy waters, sometimes for charity, sometimes just for fun. But nobody knows how to embrace a polar bear plunge better than actual polar bears. Check this out.
Forget the guy in the bear suit, the shivering humans and their polar bear plunge. This is the real thing. Two polar bear twins born at the Toledo, Ohio Zoo, once fascinated by their own feet, are now performing feats of diving skill. With young fans urging them on.
The kids think they're involved and are excited to be telling him to jump off the ledge there, but he's going to do it anyway. And it just so happens he loves doing it in front of the class.
Kalik and Kalu, indigenous names meaning lightning and thunder, went from accidentally falling into the water to learning to swim using mom as a raft to diving in the shallow pool. And now, at the age of a year and 2 months, doing the high dive off the cliff, even throwing a plastic toy off the ledge and diving after it.
They love it. They can't get enough of it, and they'll come up right up to the glass.
Something we can all get behind.
Some fun polar bear facts for you. They're good at racing cars because they're always in pole position. They keep their money in snowbanks. The hats they wear are called ice caps, no cap. And they catch their food with their bare hands. All right, we've got more important situations on our hands. Shout out time. This shout out goes to Scituate, Rhode Island. Scituate High School. Go Spartans. Rise up. And this shout out goes to... Give me a minute. Just a minute. Yes. Oh, yeah. The Minutemen at T.H. Bell Junior High in Ogden, Utah. You rock. Now, don't forget, tomorrow is hashtag Your Word Wednesday. Follow me at CoyWire on Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. Put your unique vocabulary word in the comment section of my most recent post with your school, your teacher's name, your mascot, and we're going to choose one fun winner to work into tomorrow's show. Let's go. See you tomorrow, superstar. I'm CoyWire, and we are CNN 10.